Nothing but good vibrations on this Friday. Want to go ahead and end your work week off right. Yes, this is the vibe I'm on. Yeah, I got a lot to talk about. Sing Queen, none other than Miss Diana Ross. Let's go. Nothing but positivity. Yes. Let's go. All right. Yes. Great vibrations, nothing but positivity. So let's get this podcast started off correctly, the right way, the only way that I know how to do it. And that is testing, testing, 1, 4, 3, testing, testing, 1 to the 4 to the 3. It is all love, baby. Welcome to the Ken's Corner Podcast, and I am your host, Ken. And welcome to episode number 75 of the Ken's Corner Podcast. And as always, I thank you and I truly appreciate you, because you could have been doing anything else, but you chose to spend this Friday with me, ending your work week right. And as always, you can interact with me on all of my social media platforms, which is at Ken's Corner on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And you can also interact with me on my website, which is www.kenscorner.co. That's www.kenscorner.co. So let's see what's going on in the neighborhood that we can talk about on the corner. Gonna start off with a little, I'm gonna say a little, it's a lot. A very disturbing situation that's happening over in the motherland, in the country of Nigeria. There's a slogan and a hashtag, and it is called End SARS. And what it is a decentralized social movement against police brutality. If you've been looking, if you've been on social media, the videos that have been shown are very graphic. A lot of them I can't watch because, again, that is triggering. And I'm doing, want to do a better job of protecting my spirit and protecting my eye gates, the things that I see. And so I don't want anything like that to ever be normalized to me. But what SARS stands for is a Special Anti-Robbery Squad. And this squad in Nigeria has been notorious for police brutality against its citizens. And so protests and different political prisoners and people who've been speaking out, you know, people being shot, being brutalized and things of that nature. And the number of pictures of just the bodies, I think that was the one I did look at, and it's just, it was heartbreaking. And so I just want to send my prayers and my support from a distance to Nigeria. And the thing about that, these situations that happen abroad, is that that's pretty much all you can do is just send prayers. I'm still looking for any type of organizations or relief organizations that has boots on the ground that's helping. So if anybody knows any, please, again, please hit me up on any of my social media to give those links or anything. And if, you know, as I come across more information, I will be posting from my own personal and also from the podcast social media. It's very disheartening. It's very disheartening because during my ancestry, I am 47% Nigerian. And so as I'm learning to get closer to what I've researched and learned to be my home country, it is one of those things that is very heartbreaking. And it just also goes to show that corruption is worldwide. It is not singular and regulated to just the United States. It is a social economic issue because over there, everybody's black. So it is a social economic construct. And there is no utopia. So as much as I am all for the back to Africa movement, and that is something that I am in the process of taking care of, and that's going to be a podcast to itself, as far as dual citizenship and, you know, eventually, you know, moving to Africa. I am not naive to believe that it's utopia. There is corruption everywhere. But one thing that, you know, I hold on to is that the system wasn't set up for us to fail over there. The system is set up for us to fail here. And so as I look more into that, I'm not naive. You have to understand the local politics, what's going on, the government, you know, all of those type of things. And it's just, you just can't just up and say, I'm moving to Africa. No, it has to be a process. And that's the process that I'm currently researching, going through now. And so my heart and my prayers go out to Nigeria. So please, everybody, please pray for Nigeria. The next point that I want to talk about is our cancellation culture of our own people. If you've been looking at the news and following this particular topic, I touched on it in a previous podcast, and it's from, as it has to deal with Ice Cube, government O'Shea Jackson, and his contract with Black America. Now, when he first released it, or when I first, and I don't know when he first released it, but several months ago, when I first, you know, got wind of it, I read the whole thing, and I was thoroughly impressed. The main thing that I want to touch on is, I don't know when people came on board, that when I say people, the general public in my community came on board with it. And a lot of the outrage stems from the reports that he worked with the Trump or certain members of the Trump administration to discuss this contract. And then the reports came out that part of the platinum plan that was released by the Trump campaign to meet some of those needs. So let me go. I want to just address certain things. The one thing and my main point as it relates to this particular story is that people are okay to have their, you know, have feelings toward a particular issue. However, your feelings should be based upon facts, not just feelings. And this is what I mean by that. For me, when I looked at this whole thing from the beginning, one of the first statements out of Ice Cube's mouth was, I shouldn't have to be doing this. That was one of the first things that he said. And when I hear people criticize him, and these are my people, these are descendants of Africans that are in America, saying that he should stick to entertainment. When those type of statements are made, it's no different from when that white woman told LeBron, shut up and dribble. There's no difference in that. And this is coming from our own people. How many times have we begged and asked for our people to step up to the plate and put pressure on the system? And with this year of COVID, this is the year where that has been happening, that our stars, our athletes, entertainers have really been stepping up to use whatever leverage they have to bring awareness. But there is a multifaceted approach to handling systemic issues, and bringing awareness on a global stage is one thing, but it also takes people to put things in motion, and the people and the grassroots organizations to help with those things. And one of the challenges I also see is that, and I don't think it's done overtly, but even in some of the conversations, you know, one person said that Ice Cube disregarded those people who already had boots on the ground. And I just don't see it that way, because again, in several interviews, and this has to go back to me, you have to look at the totality of and get all of the information when forming your opinions and feelings about a situation. In more than six interviews that I've personally seen them, and I've seen just, I think, you know, just about all of them, but I know specifically he has spoken to that one, this contract with Black America is a working document. So those of us who understand what that term means in a business situation or in an educational situation, this means that that document is ever changing. That means there are several collaborators with this particular document, and it's growing. It's a living document. It doesn't, it's not stagnant. It's not put in stone. So that's one thing. The second thing that he's also said is that he didn't write it. So he didn't personally write all of it. There was a section that, according to what he says, that he was dealing with as far as the business sector. And he said this is something that he has been enthralled with for a long time. But, you know, with his life as far as making music, making movies, and, you know, starting his own league, he admitted he put it to the background. But because of COVID, he had a lot of time on his hands, so he picked it back up. But he also said that he's called in other experts in different fields to tackle the challenges that Black America is facing, which is the economic gap, which is the education gap, which is prison reform, the whole nine. And on my podcast, I talked about how, what's my guy's name? See his face right now. Chris Broussard was one of the collaborators on this. There's other economists and other people that were a part of this thing. So it wasn't, Ice Cube was just lending his star power in order to get this out to the masses, which he should do. The third thing is that this particular document or contract was presented to both political parties. One said that they would be willing to meet. The other one said that they would meet after the elections. Now, there is no right or wrong way to approach it when it comes to that. One, they both, you know, I don't know if they, again, the extent to what they look at it, but they, one decided, hey, let's talk about some things now. The other one said, let's talk about it later. So now when it comes down to the point where the side that said that we will talk to you ended up being the Donald Trump side, people, and rightfully so, felt a way about it. Now, this is where my fourth point where I'm having challenges, because the statement is, well, he got played. He got played. Donald Trump playing chess. He got played. How do you know? How can you assess that? How do you assess that? People got to understand, Martin Luther King met with Nixon or Johnson. And these two were known racists. They were known. Van Jones worked with the Trump administration to help with the prison reform that we do see now. And it was a very insightful interview that Van Jones had. I forget what podcast he was on, and he talked about he was in a predicament, you know, internal struggle, because here it is, this polarizing president who has on many occasions, you know, said dog whistle, sent out dog whistles to a racist base. However, this same person was giving him the opportunity. He was able to work with him on prison reform. So he said he was, it was on a Mike Tyson. Yeah, it was on a Mike Tyson hot boxing podcast. And shout out to Mike Tyson. He was saying that, you know, what do I do? Do I not work with them and then the people stay in jail? Or do I work with this administration in order to get the bill passed? And that's one of the things that Ice Cube was attempting to do. He was going to speak on our behalf. And before then, what has Ice Cube ever done or shown us that he is not for the people? I mean, what has he done? Again, like I tell people, this is the same man that said fuck the police. As a community, we've been saying it, but this group actually put it out there. And it brought light to the police brutality that we all have seen in, well, not all of us, but many of us have seen in our neighborhood. This is the same man that was with the Nation of Islam, getting trained by Dr. Khalid Muhammad, Louis Farrakhan, Minister Farrakhan. This is the same man that gave us lethal injection. This is the same man that gave us death certificate. This is the same man that throughout his messaging has given hints to where his mindset is. Now, all of a sudden, because as much as I love my black politicians, the needle hasn't been moved to the extent where we would like it. And so now we're at this point where a lot of people fed up. And so he said, you know what? Let me do something. Let me put something out there. I don't believe he stepped on toes. Again, a lot of, several members of the Black Caucus said, well, the things in here, stuff that we've already been talked about. Okay. And pressure can still keep going. And one of my favorite sayings that I love to say and live by more so than say is we can get a lot done when we stop caring about who gets the credit. And I think that if we have to have an honest conversation, that's what it's coming down to, one of the issues. I don't think Ice Cube got played because, you know, the person who we know to be a liar, you know, supposedly tweeted something out and said, thank you for working with us and we're going to change the platinum, you know, parts of the platinum plan. If it took that to help change it, to bring change for you and me, okay, you got to work with it. And so I just really want people to, I'm not saying get out your feelings because I think that is very dismissive in making that statement, but I will ask that you utilize the facts, the total facts. Go back and start looking at, I mean, if you haven't read The Contract with Black America, please do. Once you do that, please read the Platinum Plan. Please read the, what was Joe Biden's plan? The Hallelujah Plan. I don't know. I didn't like whatever his title of his plan was. I didn't like the Joe Biden plan, the title of it. So please forgive me. Read all of it because it's about being informed. It's about being informed. And then once you are informed, then your feelings can come from that information. But as it relates to Ice Cube, I'm not canceling Ice Cube. No, I'm not doing it. Not going to do it. And one thing I will say on that is there is the special on Netflix about the Black Godfather guy. Now, his name is slipping me right quick. And there was a situation where he was talking about, he brought together this concert or whatever, and Sammy Davis Jr. was on the bill. And Sammy Davis Jr. was getting booed because I think it was Nixon or Lyndon Johnson. I can't remember who the president was at the time, but I think it was Nixon. And Republican, he was getting booed. He was getting booed. And I never forget, he said, you know, you can, and I'm paraphrasing, so please forgive me. He said, you can boo me, but at the end of the day, I'm still black. You can't take away my blackness. You may not like my political stance, but you can't take away my blackness. And that's what, as a people, we need to stop doing. Stop taking people's blackness away just because we don't agree with a stance that they take. Because at the end of the day, whether I don't agree with 50, what 50 Cent said, you know, him endorsing Trump because he's voting for his own personal interest. But that's not my interest. But the man is still black. because when they look at 50 Cent, he's a rich nigga. And the word emphasis on nigga. They look at me and I'm a poor nigga. The emphasis on nigga. And so they look at Ice Cube. He's a whatever nigga. The emphasis on nigga. And so we just have to do a better job of trying to discredit someone's blackness because they're doing something that we don't agree with. So shout out to Ice Cube. Shout out to you for stepping up and taking some type of action, giving us the people the document that we can go utilize in our local communities, on the local level, the state level, and on the national level. You gave us something to work with. So please check out the contract with Black America. Please look at the different grassroots organizations that you can utilize that platform, utilize those things, and go to your local politicians and say, these are the things that we want. Also want to shout out to Diddy for the Black Political Party. I joined that. So just, again, I'm really about action items. And if you're doing action items without having to put somebody else down, I'm rolling with it. And I'm looking at it with a critical eye, not to critique, to try to come against, but also to critique, to make it better so they can fit within my local community so I can help change. So shout out to those brothers. My last and my main topic I want to talk about is Coming Out. The song that I played by none other than the queen herself, Miss Diana Ross, and as she so eloquently wrote, and I don't know if he wrote those words, but she eloquently sang those words, that it rings so true about people coming out. Now, when you hear that statement is usually relegated to the LGBTQ community. It's relegated to someone who is living what some would call an alternative lifestyle, what some would call no longer embracing the heterosexual lifestyle, that they are now embracing a lifestyle of homosexuality or whateverality. But I want to take this in something more different, because we all are in the closet. And what I mean by that, there's a situation that that kind of struck a nerve to me, and it did so because a person, you know, wants to be happy and wants to live their life as they believe to see fit. And because of that, there were certain restrictions put on a person. And I sat back and I was taken aback by, you know, the things and the stories that I heard. And I became instantly sad, because I said, how is it that we as man, we put these boxes on people? And why is it that what's in my closet is somehow deemed okay, but what's in somebody else's closet is deemed bad? Now, before I go any further, I am excluding pedophilia. I'm excluding any abuse of minors or the elderly or anybody, any type of rape, sexual abuse, mental, physical abuse. Anything that's labeled as abuse is not what I'm talking about. Anything criminal is not what I'm talking about. What I am talking about is our proclivities and our idiosyncrasies and our ideologies that some people may not like, or what goes against what's called the social norms. And I was really hurt and I was really saddened and emotional as I was talking to my family about it. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. How come that person's closet, it's hard for, they can't come out. But if we're honest with ourselves, we all are in the closet in some way, shape, or form, whether it's an addiction to shopping, or whether it's being obese, whether it's our attitude, whether it's our lack of education, whether it's pride, whether it's all of these other things that we hide and we cover up or, you know, put on masks. But I'm going to use the word closet because a lot of us ain't came out the closet. We giving people what I call the resume. You know, it's my thing that I've dubbed the resume theory, is that we give people our best. Like when you on your resume, you put your best qualities on there. And then you also embellish. How many of us, you know, when the Jordan meme first came out, it was the crying Jordan face at the computer talking about when you lied on your computer, when you lied on your resume about you were proficient at Excel. I think all of us at one point in time, or many of us lied about that, that you're proficient at Excel. So on your resume, you embellish. On your resume, you put your best foot forward. And that's the same way that many of us interact in our relationships. But we are in the closet with several of our actions and our attitudes and our thoughts. Even married people, people that have been married for years are still in the closet. They still don't let their mate know how they really truly feel about certain things, how they really think about certain things. Because if you let people know what was really going on in your mind, would people really accept you? And what gives us the audacity to put somebody aside and say that they can't participate in X, Y, and Z because of how they want to live their life? Again, outside of anything criminal. And what we also as a society need to do a better job is stop criminalizing certain people's bones in their closet. We need to decriminalize those particular things because people cannot live their lives to the fullest because they always are in the closet. So I just want to encourage those people to come on out. Come on out and be your true, authentic self. Be your true, authentic self and understand that there are things within yourself that you have to work on. I have to work on my, you know, certain aspects of my attitude. I have to work on certain things of my esteem. I have to work on certain things as far as my discipline. I have to work on certain things about my quick temper. These are just some of the things that's in my closet. And I'm in the closet about a lot. A lot of people, when they hear, you know, so, you know, have you ever, if you're, I'm not gonna lie, I'm popular in my area. So sometimes you can have two groups of, you know, two close associate groups. And sometimes one associate group don't know about the you and the other associate group. They're both you. You're not two-faced. It's just that in one particular circle, people know you to be this, and another particular circle, they know you to be that. It's both you. And sometimes when those two circles get to talking, they say, hey, do you know such and such? Like, yeah. And one person gets to talking and the other group like, wait a minute, I didn't know that person did that, or I didn't know that person thought about that. That's because that person is in the closet with you on that side. I do my best. Now, I do my best. That when people talking in my different associate circles, if they were ever to talk, it's certain common threads that they were like, oh, yeah, that's Ken. Yep, that's consistent in Ken's life. Yeah, he's, you know, consistent in that. I do my best. I'm not perfect because, yes, there are certain things I'm in the closet about. There are certain things I don't want you to know. There's certain things I don't want my family to know. And these are people that know me. But there's just certain things that I keep in the closet. And so I just want to encourage people to come on out. Please live your life to the fullest. Please do your best not to let anybody put you in a box that you don't belong in. Please do your best to do that, because to a certain extent, we all do care about what people say about us. But please do not allow those things in the closet or the things that are in your closet. Please do your best not to allow those people to criminalize that. And then we as a people, we need to stop criminalizing what's in other people's closet, because that may not be your closet. That may not be the skeleton in your closet, but there are skeletons in your closet indeed. So as Diana said, I'm coming out. The world is knowing who Ken is. This podcast is evident of that. This worldwide podcast is evidence of that. So if I can do it, I'm just a dude from Cleveland, Ohio. If I can do it, you can do it too. And I just encourage you to come on out, to come on out. So with that being said, I want to thank you so much for your time. I want you to go ahead and have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. As always, you can interact with me on throughout all my social media, which is at Ken's Corner on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And you can also interact with me on my website, which is www.kenscorner.co. That's www.kenscorner.co. So as always, I'll always leave you with this. I truly love, trust, and respect you. This is Ken of Ken's Corner Podcast. Peace out.